Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Welcome back to our Burden and Blessing Podcast, and we're picking up today with the next installment of our debate series. This series takes a look at somewhat controversial topics that are in our society, sometimes in our churches, and we kind of put together a mock debate of each side giving its strongest points to help our listeners understand those situations better. I'm Pastor Mark Tiefel. Joining me today in this debate series is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew and Pastor Neil Radical. Today our topic is church shopping. Now, if listeners are unfamiliar with that title, let me explain it a bit for you. Church shopping means, goes back to how we pick a church. And that phrase is used to indicate the attitude of basically choosing your church based on your own personal interests, kind of like if you would be shopping for clothing or shopping for the kind of food you like, selecting out the things that you personally like about church and making your decision based on that. This is a common thing both among people who don't have a history with church and are looking for something along the lines of church, but also Christians within the church at times when divisions happen, the topic of church shopping can come up. So in our debate this morning about this topic, taking the Christian perspective, and that is namely that God tells us in His Word what we should be looking for in church and we shouldn't shop for it in a personal way based on our own feelings, that perspective is going to be given by Pastor Nathaniel. And then the other perspective of advocating or promoting this idea of shopping around for churches and picking what you would like is going to be Pastor Neil. So we're going to get started here. We've got basically three rounds to our debate, round one, round two, and then our closing arguments. And then once we wrap up the debate portion, all three of us will kind of press the pause button and just discuss and dissect the arguments that were given. So, gentlemen, are you ready?
Ready.
Yep.
Okay, so starting us off on round one, giving his opening argument in favor of church shopping is going to be Pastor Neil. Go ahead, Neil.
Nathaniel, super good to see you today. I want to ask you a question, if that's okay. So I was talking to my neighbor from down the street yesterday. We had a really interesting discussion. It was super cool to talk to him about. He's a Christian, just like I am. It was really neat to talk to him about his faith. And he'd mentioned, you know, in our area here, he's looking around for all different kinds of churches. So they are without a church home right now. And he was excited at the opportunity to like hunt for basically a church that he and his wife and his little kids want to go to. So, you know, they're looking for, since they have little kids, they're looking for a church that has like those, kind of like the daycare thing, but places where the kids would have a good environment to learn. They started close, but they were going a little bit further out as they were trying to these different churches. And they'd go for like a week or two at a time. And they'd get to know, they'd test to see if the congregation was welcoming or not to them. That was one of the big things that they were looking for. They also wanted to get to know, try to get to know the pastor a little bit as best they could, because they think that that's important to have a good relationship with the pastor. And so it was neat to listen to him talk about the things that they were looking for in a congregation. And it was just really kind of inspiring because, you know, as they're going to different churches, you know, you hear about the love that they're finding in these different congregations and they're really excited. And it's just really kind of heartwarming because it's not very often, of course, you hear people getting excited about finding a church, you know, and just, it really meant a lot to me. And I thought, you know, what do you think about that, about checking out those different churches? And I think it's kind of a neat idea because it's like, you can go and see what these other churches have to offer. I think there's a lot to learn from that too, and understanding what they have to give and how they're serving the community. I know that's one thing my neighbor said that he really appreciated with a lot of churches. He's found that they really serve their community a lot. And I think that's what churches should do, is just really serve their neighborhood and community. And again, I was really inspired by that. I just kind of wanted to hear your thoughts about what you think about going around and checking out these different churches in town, and and how that can be such a blessing for the Christian faith. What do you think?
The fact that your friend is looking for a church, that is a really, really good thing. The fact that they're concerned about finding a place where they can hear God's word and grow in God's word and then serve both God and their neighbor is a wonderful thing. And so that's the first step, and that's a step in the right direction. At the same time, there's a lot of things that I think we have to be kind of careful about when we're looking for a church too. Looking for a church is different than going and trying to find a pair of jeans, you know, where you go and you try a pair on and say, well, you know, do I like the fit or do I like the style? There's other things that God tells us very clearly in his word that are essential when we are looking for a church. And so you mentioned a couple of different things, you know, what kind of programs a church has, whether the people of the congregation are friendly and welcoming, what kind of personality does the pastor have? Do they serve in different ways? And those are all really important and valuable things to some degree, but there's probably something that's much more important, and that is, does the church teach the truth of God's word? And there are so many passages in Scripture that talk about the dangers of those who teach falsely. The world is full of false teachers, the Bible tells us, both in the Old and the New Testament. We have prophets in the Old Testament that warned of false teachers, and there are apostles and evangelists in the New Testament that warn about false teachers, as well as Jesus himself. And he said the world is full of them. And so the most important thing for us as we look for a church home is, does that church teach faithfully the truth of God's word? And there's a number of different things that we can talk about a little bit in that regard, but that should be the number one priority as we seek a church. Not how friendly it is, not where it's located, not what kind of programs it has, but does it teach the truth of God's word? So maybe you had an opportunity to talk to your friend about that.
Okay, so we have just concluded round one, and Neil brought in several different arguments right away. Nathaniel seemed to track that very well, looking for some of the aspects of church that are kind of on the outward. You know, what's the atmosphere like? What's the pastor like? Do they have programs for family? Do they do service in the community? And then Nathaniel, in his response, brought it back to, what does God say in his word about church? Does the church follow the truth of God's word? So far, round one, the debate, very civil so far, ideas being shared back and forth. Here we're going to jump into round two. Neil, you're up again at the beginning of round two. Go ahead.
Nathaniel, I do appreciate your response, and I'm glad you're excited for my neighbor. I think you're excited about it. Sometimes, you know, you can't always tell with someone's tone, but as you know, Pastor, you've been my pastor for the last few years now, and I like that you've talked about not trying on these pair of pants and being careful with the church shopping. I'm not sure if that's something I talked to my neighbor about, but you know that we do know the Bible says that we are clothe ourselves in righteousness. So it can be related to trying on different pants as well, as long as we're trying on the correct ones. And I think that was kind of your point, if I understand correctly. But this leads me into a conversation I did have with my neighbor, and I've been thinking about myself when it comes to being careful with what is being taught. When we think about the church shopping, there's a lot of different churches out there that don't teach the way ours does when it comes to, like, the Lord's Supper, I've noticed, for example. So, like, we have this close or this close communion thing. Maybe this is something we can talk about more in the future too, but you mentioned about being faithful to God's word. And what's interesting is that, you know, when you read from, like, Ephesians 4, I was reading that this morning, that it says there, Ephesians 4, verse 4, there's, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You know, what's interesting is that, you know, as I'm listening to my neighbor talk about these things, you know, we would not allow him to take communion at our church, I believe. And yet Ephesians seems to be pointing out here that, you know, as he's skipping around the different churches, checking them out, you know, all of them are letting him take communion there, it seems like. And I'm just wondering, how are we being faithful to God's word when passages like Ephesians 4 are speaking against kind of the church shopping mentality? You know, if we're supposed to make every effort to keep united because we're one body, I guess I don't know how to respond to him with that, or really how I feel about that myself.
That's a really good question. The Ephesians 4 passage that you brought in highlights the Holy Christian Church. So the Holy Christian Church is an invisible church. And in the Holy Christian Church, where people believe in Jesus, something that we as human beings can't see, everybody is united. They are all perfectly one. The problem is that because we as human beings can't see that, we have to deal with what is called the visible church. And within the visible church, there are divisions. So when the Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Corinth, for example, in chapters 10 and 11, dealing with the Lord's Supper, he points out that while the Holy Christian Church is united perfectly, but it can't be seen in this life or on this side of heaven, we do have to make distinctions between those who fellowship together. And one of those areas is in the doctrine of the Lord's Supper. And so the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, we are all one body. We all partake of that one bread. So we need to be united in the teachings of God's word in order to join together in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. So that's one example of how many churches, they do teach incorrectly on the doctrine of the Lord's Supper. They practice what is called open communion. And that's partly because they confuse the passages that deal with the Holy Christian Church with the passages that deal with the visible church. And that's where those passages, like for example, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 would come in, where Jesus says, beware of false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing. It looks like a good thing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. Every false teaching is dangerous. And ultimately, maybe not right away, but ultimately it erodes the doctrine of God's word, which seeks to undermine who Christ is and what Christ has done. On the surface, it doesn't always seem like false doctrine does that, but anytime we allow false doctrine to come in, Paul describes it as cancer. It's going to spread, it's going to continue to grow, and it's going to spread into other doctrines until finally it separates us entirely from Christ. So hopefully that's helpful for your friend.
Okay, so we have concluded round two now as well, and Neil brought in some concepts there that touch on the topic. He brought in the topic of the unity of the church, the oneness that God talks about in the church. He also brought up the specific situation of the Lord's Supper and how we see differences among churches there, and what does that mean as far as seeking unity in a church. And then Nathaniel responded to those by bringing in the distinction of the Holy Christian Church versus visible churches. And that's one of the reasons why we have to, you know, make these judgments about which kind of church to join. But then also talking about the concept of fellowship in connection with the Lord's Supper and the areas where God talks about that in his word that are directed toward visible churches, the case being 1 Corinthians in chapters 10 and 11. So we're getting a little bit more specific in our debate as we get into some of these topics that we think about when it comes to joining a church. We've now concluded rounds one and two, and we have arrived at our final arguments. So the closing arguments here will be about 2 minutes or less for each individual, and we'll begin again with Neil. Go ahead, Neil.
I appreciate you taking time to try to explain to me, Pastor Mayhew, us being careful about using the Lord's Supper. So if it was my neighbor or myself church shopping or hopping around checking out these different churches, we would have a problem with me taking the Lord's Supper at these churches, if I understand you correctly, because that we don't agree with them in the doctrine, whether it be communion or something else. So the confusing part about that for me that I'd like you to explain is, what about the agreeing to disagree idea? In other words, if my faith is between me and God, does it really make a difference which church I go to, as long as I believe in Christ and that he is my Savior? Because that's absolutely what I believe. I feel like our church could be inhibiting and preventing the gospel to be spread by being kind of more closed-minded or closed doors, because we're literally practicing closed communion where people aren't welcome to come to that. So I feel like a better mentality would be to just agree to disagree in some of these minor points of scripture, you know, that maybe we can't agree on because your interpretation's different than my neighbor's or even mine about what God's word says. There's a lot of different interpretations out there. So, I mean, as far as who can say what is right, how can we even know for sure, you know, in that sense? So I guess I'm kind of struggling with your answer, because it's like, on the one side, yeah, I kind of see some of the dangers, but it's really my faith between me and God.
To one degree, your faith is between you and God, but when you join a group of believers, you join a larger group. The idea of agreeing to disagree, while it has gotten a lot of traction in our world today, and even within Christianity, has really no basis in Scripture. There's nothing in Scripture that says that it's okay for us to agree to disagree. God has given to us all of His Word, and all of His Word is true. So you made the point, well, there are minor points of Scripture, and those minor points of Scripture, you know, we should be able to have disagreement or not at least fully agree on those. Well, where does the Bible say that? The Scripture doesn't say that there are certain things that are in God's Word that are unimportant and other points of Scripture that are of greater importance. If there were only certain things that God wanted us to know and to agree on, He could have given us a much smaller Bible, but He didn't. He gave us 66 books, and all of those things, He says, all of my word is pure, all of my word is true. And when you talk about those, you know, if we look at ourselves, we say, well, you know, we're being close-minded by not considering these other views. Wouldn't people view Jesus as being close-minded with some of the things that He said in the Gospels? I'm sure that there are people that would look at Jesus and say, well, He was pretty close-minded, and He really didn't have people's best interests in mind. But Jesus did. He was concerned about the Pharisees when He reached out to them. He was concerned about the sinners, and He approached each one of those by either pointing out their sin, but being faithful to the Scriptures, to being faithful to His Father in heaven. And that's what He calls us to do as well. He doesn't call us to determine what we should or shouldn't proclaim faithfully, or what we can agree or disagree on. He says, all of my word is important. We need to agree on all of it and to proclaim it with unity in the visible church, so that we can bear witness to the fact that God's word is true in its entirety. The point that your friend might be considering, or that you might be struggling with a little bit, is ultimately what you're doing is you're saying that God's truth can't be known. And it can be known. God has given us His truth in His word. Is it difficult at times to do the study in order to figure out what is true of the different views? Absolutely. But God calls us to do that work, to put that effort into the study of His word. And then once we have done that, then to faithfully proclaim it. So I'll certainly keep your friend in my prayers and pray that the Lord would lead him to an understanding of the truth of His word. And I hope that we can talk a little bit more about this with questions that you have as well.
Well done, both of you. We've reached the end of our debate. Our closing arguments have ended. We're now going to press pause on the role playing and jump back in as three regular pastors and discuss what we talked about this morning. Again, to remind our listeners, our topic today was church shopping, and that includes the idea of how do you pick a church to go to? If you're a Christian who's inquiring, or if you're new to the faith and you're wondering where you should attend, or maybe where you should seek membership, what are the guidelines that you should follow in seeking that? And so Neil kind of took up the position of the individual who kind of goes based on feeling, goes based on what's popular in culture right now, understands maybe intellectually what the Bible says, but has senses that struggle in confessing it and following it. And Nathaniel was advocating the biblical position where we want to let God speak to us about what we should be looking for in a church, and let God define that for us. I just want to qualify as moderator here that for our listeners, we're not trying to say that by talking about how the Bible is against the idea of church shopping, we're not trying to say by that you shouldn't test churches, or that it's wrong to go to other churches to see what they teach, or it's wrong to investigate those things, or even that it's wrong to study the word with somebody from another church to hear what their faith is all about. That's all part of what 1 John 4:1 says, testing the spirits to see whether or not they are of God. That's a good thing for Christians to be doing. That idea of testing, though, is different than shopping. the idea of shopping means you're going around and you're purposefully looking for stuff that you want, even if you know in the back of your mind or in your heart what God is telling you. Almost like you're looking for a way out of what God says in his word. Those are two different things, but we certainly don't want to confuse that as we talk about this topic. So let's react here a bit to how the discussion went. I'm going to start with Neil once again, because he's gone first. Neil, give us kind of a summary of kind of the direction you tried to go, but also what you thought of the points that Nathaniel raised.
I was kind of hoping you'd ask Nathaniel first because I wanted to encourage him, because I was trying to throw at him things that I've heard several times and also change I changed it obviously with him not having any idea who this was to like, oh, this is one of my members. And that's typically how that goes, is that, you know, you'll have someone say, oh, I had this conversation with so-and-so, and then you soon find out, oh, they kind of agree with them. Like they're doing this. And so that's interesting. You know, I really liked the way Nathaniel brought it back to, and this is sometimes the approach that I use with people, is that, hey, if you're church shopping right now, let's list the things that you're looking for. I've done that with members before too, that aren't sure they want to stay at our church, you know, the different churches I've been in. It's like, okay, well, what are you looking for in a church? So make that list and then prioritize that list. And I think that's exactly what Nathaniel kept bringing it back to. What's the priority? And he said over and over again about being faithful to God's word, about studying the scriptures, about making that the priority. And I really appreciated that. You know, I really wanted to drop the bombshell on him and say, oh, they had such a sweet music group and it was so entertaining, but I thought, you know, that's, we'll just keep it where it was. But, you know, that whole idea of the faithfulness of God's word to us, we want to be that same faithful to him as well. And I like the point he made towards the end there about making that effort to study. And really, he never got flustered. He was just very kind, very patient. He listened very carefully. And as the situation unfolded, you know, the conversation unfolded, even if his own member was kind of agreeing to disagree with that, he brought it back to, hey, well, let's study the word some more. Let's see what God's word says about these very important scriptures about, yeah, being united in our faith, not just in the Holy Christian Church, like Nathaniel pointed out, but in our visible congregation too. God wants that unity for strength and standing up against Satan and being clothed in that righteousness of Christ so that we can resist the devil's temptations and just agree to disagree. And my favorite point he made was, there are no minor points of the Bible. There's fundamental teachings for salvation, but every word of God is pure. And I really like the way he addressed that and pointed it out so well. So really well done, Nathaniel.
Yeah, I was just going to, just before I get back to Nathaniel on that, just to build on that point, I tried to track across the rounds some of the phrases. You can usually tell where a person's position comes from if you pick up the buzzwords that they use. And Nathaniel talked about God tells us. He used the word essential. He used the word fellowship. He talked about God's truth. Those are all very key phrases that are so important. That's why we talk about, we teach children those words, those phrases, those concepts in catechism, because that's how you frame the argument of coming from the perspective of God's revelation to you on this topic, of letting God lead you in this way. And so you can tell a lot from a person based on just picking up some of those words that they use. But Nathaniel brought it back to some of those absolute concepts that are not subjective, that do not change based on our feeling, and really don't fit within the realm of shopping at all. You know, shopping is that subjective activity where I'm choosing what I want. There are a lot of elements that are kind of like that when it comes to church. Neil opened his argument with some of those things, you know, personality, atmosphere, the programs that they offer. It's not wrong to choose in those areas once you are part of a church. There are some things in those areas where God says it's okay or not okay to have those things. It's not a command. But when it comes to that confession of your faith and that membership aspect of joining a church and committing to it, God is very clear in his word what his expectations are. So Nathaniel, tell us what your reaction was. What did you think about Neil's argument that he brought forth, and what the kind of the take us through the thought process there and how you responded to him?
I thought Neil did a fantastic job of just summarizing the issues that we often deal with. And Neil, it built nicely too. You know, that first round, you talked about all of the different visible things that people look for in a church. And then in round two, then you started to bring in this idea, you know, it's not just my friend, you know, there's some things that I'm struggling with too. And the whole issue of communion, which can be a big issue, but you started to indicate then in that second round that there are some things that I'm struggling with. And then you really got into that in the third round, where you bring in some of those key phrases that are so common: agree to disagree, minor parts of scripture, different views of scripture. I would have liked to have addressed that a little bit better as the one addressing it. There's, you know, you're always reflecting on, well, what should I have hit? What did I miss? And there's a lot of things that I wish I would have been able to cover. But that idea of, you know, people having different views of scripture is a really common one too, as if you can have one view of scripture and I can have a different view of scripture and they can both be okay. You know, that's wrong too. There's one spirit intended meaning of scripture. And it doesn't matter what your view is or my view is. What matters is what's God's view of that passage. So I wish I would have had a chance to address that too, but really, really wonderful summary, Neil, of some of the really big things that come up in this particular topic. So well done.
Can I respond back to that for 1 second, Mark?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, as we talk about these dangers of church shopping, again, I think it's important to come back to what we said in a different podcast about the Bereans testing everything God's word says, which is why I really am glad you brought in that 1 John 4:1, Mark. Church shopping in and of itself isn't bad as long as you're testing what the word of God says and not getting clouded by everything else the church says and does, which is going to be very alluring, I think, probably in most churches you go, unless there's some kind of like cult type of thing. But one of the dangers I've seen specifically with church shopping that I want to just make this quick comment about is that when does that turn in from church shopping into church hopping? And, you know, maybe you've run into some people where they've been doing that for a year or two or 3 years, you know, that they've been hopping around from church to church because they've been church shopping for so long, never really settling on any congregation because they haven't found the perfect congregation yet. And I like to remind them, you're not going to, you know, you're going to look for the one who's faithful to God's word, or at least attempting to do so without sweeping things under the rug. So I just want to make that comment in regards to church shopping becoming church hopping long term.
Maybe another point, and I didn't bring this up in the discussion, but maybe another point to help a person understand what's really important is, you know, to ask them, hey, did you go onto the church's website and did you read what their doctrine is before actually stopping in at the church? You know, to see all of the things that you can see, read what does it teach? And I don't know how many people actually do that. You know, they just walk in on Sunday without actually doing any study on the church, without knowing anything about it, and just listen to, you know, feeling all of the things that are going on around. Or did they actually look at what the church said to begin with and say, does this fit with God's word first? And if it doesn't, check it off the list before you even go to visit it. That would be an interesting thing to at least ask.
And to that point too, sorry, Mark, is that, oh, we did this a couple summers ago where we went through and tried to find all the local, what the other local churches believed and taught. And a lot of times you really have to investigate by calling and talking to people. Unfortunately, in this day and age, with technology as prevalent as it is, I wish more of our churches, we're trying to do so ourselves, would really just kind of list everything we believe and teach, you know, and just make it very clear so that it's very easy for people to say, oh, I agree with this church because it states everything it believes. Sometimes it's really hard to investigate what a church believes and teaches simply by going to their website, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's pretty simplistic and very watered down. Yeah.
Well, and I think most people, when you start to investigate that, I think people have in their minds perhaps that because they're not of our fellowship or that we would separate from them, that the differences will be super abundant and clear. And when they start that investigation, they may find 95% of what they come across is something that we teach. So you're going to recognize that when you test the spirits, what comes along with that is you're going to also find things that we do teach the same. But those aren't the areas of concern, obviously. You want to isolate those areas that are different, understand why they're different, and then approach that from God's word. If for example, our church doesn't have a daycare, so you might investigate another church. They have a daycare, we don't. That's a difference. But when you go back to God's word in that, you find out that that's not something God has spoken definitively on. He does not command that a church must have a daycare. But if they're teaching that the Lord's Supper is only a symbol and that God does not act through that, well, that is clearly a violation of a teaching. So this is part of testing the spirits. It's a matter of Christian maturity. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes prioritization of your life, and it's not an easy process. So have the mindset going in as a Christian that this might be a longer road, this might take time, this might be something I have to really work at, but it's worth the effort. It's part of practicing my faith.
You maybe noticed too in my third part there where I was making the point of the agree and disagree, you know, you said, well, investigation shows that 95% is the same. Who cares about that 5%? Ultimately, that's what I'm saying by agreeing to disagree. Who cares about that 5% or 0.5%? And my response is, Jesus does. Jesus cares. You know, we're looking to be served by Jesus, you know, love for the Word who is Christ. You know, he absolutely cares. Just like as teachers, we don't say, well, we don't want you to listen to 95% of what we say. Well, that doesn't make sense. Or parents or employers, you know, no, we don't listen to everything we say. That's ultimately what Jesus says too.
Well, and when you go down that road, ultimately you've just made it subjective. Now, all of a sudden, who gets to determine what that percentage is that's okay, or what fits into that category of the things that are unimportant? And that's not what God gives us the opportunity to do. Anytime you allow anything in there, it becomes subjective and you've got problems. You have to continue to base it on the objective truth. Mark mentioned that earlier, the objective truth of God's word, that's the only thing that matters.
Well, thank you guys for participating in that debate this morning. I think we talked about some very important topics, some very modern topics that we're going through as Christians right now, as we see a variety of different churches in our communities. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in again to another podcast here at Bird and Blessing. We're kind of revamping our schedule here as we move forward, and we're going to have a lot of different variety in podcasts. So stay tuned for those. Subscribe if you haven't. Share the podcast with others. Look for it on different forums, different apps on your phone, also on Facebook, so you can listen in a variety of different ways. That concludes our debate for this morning. And the Lord go with you all and be with you in the week ahead.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.